Hello and welcome to the Locked on Flyers podcast for Tuesday, June 15th. Your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that is excited to talk about Dougie Hamilton and how he should be on the Flyers.
Yeah, at least to give him a shot at it. So looking forward to talking about it.
To keep up to date on all of the random players linked to the Flyers, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked on Flyers. Keep up to date on the Flyers, Phantom, and all of our episodes. We release 5 a week, so you don't want to miss out. We have a weekly mailbag, so if you have any questions, make sure you send them in. You can reach us, like I said, on Twitter, but also via email at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Rachel.
And if you need more hockey news, make sure you are listening to Locked On NHL. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and games recapped each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL wherever you get your podcasts. On today's episode, we are going to touch on the playoffs so far and think about who we're just give our thoughts on the playoffs. Then, of course, we're going to get into the big fish in the pond this offseason, and that is Dougie Hamilton. And we will wrap up with some Phantoms news. Locked on Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you are currently listening. So make sure you subscribe and you don't miss out on any of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. So the playoffs, off to an interesting start, Rachel. At the time of recording, we only have one game currently played, and that was between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the New York Islanders. The Islanders are currently up in the series 1-0, and their last game this past weekend, they won 2-1. Their next game is tonight, and man, I mean... I was not expecting the Islanders to be up in the series. I mean, listen, anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. But it's just the Islanders are so frustrating. And it makes me even more frustrated for the team that they're playing because it's like, you're the Lightning. What are you doing? But somehow it seemed like to me, I watched a little bit of the game, which is surprising. But it seemed like to me they really let the Islanders dictate the play, and once the Islanders get into their game, it's so hard to knock them off.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for those of us who do not like the New York Islanders that they appear to have peaked at the exact right moment, even though they had all that trouble at the end of the regular season, right? So I think that each team that has played them thus far has been, even though there was plenty of evidence to show them what the style of play was, it still surprised them. And the Bolts mm-hmm. have run into the same situation that practically they just were not completely able to circumvent the system that Barry Trotz has right now. And that is, I think, a little scary given how good Tampa is.
And just like how deep they are. Like the Islanders play such a good defensive style game. But you would think that would just be knocked wide open with all of the depth that the Lightning have. But if you allow the Islanders to get to their game, you can play right into that and just they can end up frustrating you. So we'll see. Like I said, game 2 is tonight. So we'll see if the Bolts can tie it up. If not, then it seems like the Islanders are going to win the Stanley Cup, which is awful for everyone. And so the next series is the Knights versus the Habs. And like I said, this game has not started yet technically, and that's because the game is at 9 p.m. at night. Now, listen, I know that they're not specifically showing these games for me or for any East Coast fans, but just a 9 p.m. start is a little rough.
Yeah, the Habs in particular have dealt with a rough schedule just from a fan viewing perspective all season long with all those West Coast games that we were yep. One of the bright spots of the season for us was not having any of them. So yeah, it's going to be really good hockey, I think, too, which is kind of a shame.
Yeah, I think I might like at least try to stay up for the beginning of the game. Because like you said, it's the Habs are on a roll right now and the Knights, they look pretty good finishing off the Avs. So I'm excited to see how this series shakes out or at least starts. So moving on to more interesting news, because it's focused mainly on the Flyers, is that Elliot Friedman tweeted out that Carolina has given Dougie Hamilton permission to talk to other NHL teams, and that opens the potential for a sign and trade. However, the other thing that this does is allows Hamilton to see if the Hurricanes make the best offer for him, potentially allowing for a return if he doesn't like what he sees out there, which is, per Elliot Friedman, a very interesting maneuver by the team and the player. So how this affects the Flyers? Well, this gives them the opportunity to make a push for Dougie Hamilton. And I think that everyone is talking about what a benefit it would be if Chuck Fletcher to make that jump and to try to pursue Dougie Hamilton. I mean, he is a fantastic defenseman, and he's exactly what we've been looking for.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the two big names that we've been talking about is Dougie Hamilton and Seth Jones, and there are, I think, there's an assumption that Dougie Hamilton would be a better fit and has played more consistently over his career thus far and is obviously the first choice. And now that he's open to discussions with other teams, I think it makes for a better negotiating position for Chuck Fletcher, in that he can make his best offer out there without the risk of trading for his rights ahead of that negotiation.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I like where, like, versus all the other teams, I think the Flyers have the most appealing offer to Carolina to if they are able to get Dougie Hamilton. I don't see a lot of other teams being able to offer the amount of quality picks or quality prospects as the Flyers would be able to do. And if this was to be a sign and trade type of situation, I mean, I'm wondering, like, I haven't seen any offers, just like rumblings around of what Carolina might have offered Dougie Hamilton. So I'm not really sure what the Flyers counter offer could be. But I feel like regardless, I'm looking for a big move from Chuck Fletcher. And so this would be it for me, like going all in to get Dougie Hamilton. This would be the move that I would want to see made. You brought up a really good point about Seth Jones being the other possible defenseman available. And Charlie O'Connor actually tweeted out something that was really funny that I feel like is so true. He was saying that the stats people on Twitter, when they see Dougie Hamilton, are like, his underlying numbers, like, Dougie Hamilton is a great defenseman. But then all of the older eye test people are more like, oh, well, wait a minute. Whereas the eye test people are more into Seth Jones, and the stats people are like, wait a minute. And I feel like that's so true in this instance. Dougie Hamilton, there's just, I feel like I'm just more, I don't want to make a bet on if this player can get back to where they were or reach their potential. I want a player who is good now that's going to be able to give me their best hockey in the next 2 to 3 years, which I feel like, in my opinion, is that window for the Flyers.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, obviously there's no guarantee that the Flyers could get either one of these guys, right? So Chuck has got to be able to put his best foot forward with the player that he wants as his first choice here and go for it. I just don't think there's any other option here. So if Hamilton is his first choice, I mean, anything's on the table, I think. It just sucks because it's a division rival, so I'm not sure how willing Carolina is going to be to make a deal without severely overpaying for it, right? But in some cases, you just have to do that. And we've talked about that, that we have to be okay with overpaying for this top-pairing defenseman.
In this instance, I'm okay with the Flyers overpaying, but in my everyday life, I try to stick to the most, you know, appealing deals for anything that I'm looking for. And that goes with car maintenance. We've talked about rockauto.com. They are the best because they offer the same prices for everyone, and they're always reliably low. Rockauto.com is truly for everyone, and they don't even mess with like memberships or account logins.
And rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years now, so I know I can trust them. You can go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. You can get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
And like I said, they're always reliably low. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So Rachel, before we went to break, you brought up a really good point in the fact that, I mean, Carolina is a division rival. So is Columbus, although I don't feel like Columbus has that much of hesitancy in trading interdivision if they can get something of quality back for Seth Jones. But I feel like Carolina might not be interested in trading to the Flyers. That said, I still feel like the Flyers have enough to make the offer enticing. So in your opinion, what would you give up for Dougie Hamilton?
I mean, I think it's going to take a first round pick and probably one really good prospect and maybe an AHL level player or another lower round draft pick.
I think that, yeah, I would agree with you there. I think it's, for me, it's definitely that first round pick. I would be interested in seeing if Carolina would be open to taking Shane Gostisbehere, just because when I look at their depth at defense, losing Dougie Hamilton is a huge loss, and I don't know if any of their younger guys are ready to jump in yet. So having Shane Gostisbehere there to help slot in at in a third pair or second pair role in their system could be beneficial that way. I know that taking back money, I mean, the difference would be a little bit over $1 million in cap space. So I don't know if that would be something they were into, but I definitely feel like a high quality prospect, a first round pick, and maybe like a rostered defenseman now just to help them out in the meantime. And then, I mean, Carolina, it just always seems they're able to flip a defenseman for a better defenseman. So I don't know if that's in their future if they are losing Dougie Hamilton. But I'm willing to give up whatever we need to give up to an extent. I feel like the Canes are pretty deep at forward just because of their drafting. So I feel like a defenseman or a defensive prospect is what is necessary to entice them.
Yeah, that's an interesting option to trade Ghost as part of it. I'm wondering if they'd want somebody with, you know, a stronger trajectory, if they're thinking maybe Zamula instead, that's pretty close to NHL ready and could slot in there and probably be less expensive for them for a while. So that's kind of where my head's at on that in terms of the Flyers giving up a defenseman as a replacement for Hamilton in their lineup. But if they can convince Carolina to take him, I'm assuming there would be retained salary for Ghost.
I agree with you that Zamula came to mind. I think it just depends on how much, like, if the Canes want someone ready now versus someone ready in a few years to take up that space.
Wouldn't it be a thing if Seth Jones wound up in Carolina if Hamilton went to the Flyers?
I would be perfectly fine. Like, I would be absolutely okay as long as we got Hamilton. But speaking of Zamula, let's switch over into Phantoms conversation. Now, it is Tuesday, so of course I had to add a little bit of Phantoms in there. Lapierre met with the media, of course, and article from Bill Meltzer came out recently, yesterday to be exact, and it's Lapierre, I will bring positive energy. I thought that was really interesting because that was something that we talked about when he met with the media. He did talk about how he would bring positive energy to the team in the AHL. There were some quotes in this article that had me wondering, is this how Lappy thinks? Is this his ideology, or is this just what AV and Fletcher want brought to the AHL? And now I'm gonna, there's some quotes that I definitely wanted to bring up, but we will link the in the show notes the article so that you can read it all and get better context. But the article talked about, of course, how AHL coaching is a twofold in developing prospects and preparing them for the NHL, while also at the same time creating a winning culture with the AHL veterans taking leadership roles. And Lappy said, one thing I have to learn. I won't lie to you. I don't know much about the American League. I know by watching it and being around people that coach here and play here. But that's one thing that he's going to have to immerse himself in is the AHL and learning about the different teams and the systems and everything that is at the AHL level versus when he was at the NHL level. Then he goes and says, there's a fine line for sure. At the end of the day, it's going back to the way I want the team to play and back into the structure. I want to have these kids buy into that structure. And if they do get better, it won't be a free ride. If they don't play in your structure, they won't play. I go back to the one thing that I control is ice time. One big thing I control, it's ice time. It's part of being a pro. If you don't do the right thing, if the coach is asking for you to do something and you don't do it, well, there's consequences. It comes along that if we have more guys doing it, we'll win more games than lose games. Now, I thought that was a really interesting quote just because to me, it's fair. I don't want to sit there and say that, you know, if the kids aren't doing the right things, then they should still be able to play. But at the same time, I keep thinking that, you know, this is a developmental league. So, you know, cutting kids and cutting their ice times if they don't perform well, I'm not sure how beneficial that is to their development.
Yeah, I think, you know, the first quote that you mentioned about not knowing much about the American League was really concerning to me, given that we don't have a support staff named for him yet. I think that it's going to now be very, very important that whoever they hire as assistant coaches for Lappy have real solid AHL knowledge and how the league works and how the games work and the balance between the veteran players that are just career AHLers and the prospects that you're trying to develop, and understanding how to structure your lines so that there's a combination on each line, if you know, and making sure that the veteran players are there to play the best hockey that they can play as well, while you're trying to build up your prospects to get them to the NHL level. And he's not there yet on this front, clearly. And so I worry about that a little bit with that quote. In terms of the structure aspect of it, I think that kind of dovetails to my first concern, just because if there's a very strict structure in place that doesn't allow for meshing of those two sets of players well, and if he's potentially only punishing prospects versus veterans, that's not going to be, I think, received very well. He's going to have to understand how to be consistent with both kinds of players out there. And I think with his focus and all of his coaching experience thus far is really with player development, he's going to have to learn how to switch his brain. And so I worry that this next season is going to be a little bit of a rough transition.
You brought up some really, really good points. And unfortunately, we can't bet on the AHL and whether Lappy is going to help or hinder this team, but the playoffs is something that you can bet on, and now is the perfect time to see if the Islanders are going to make a run or if the Habs will make a run in the Vegas series. BetOnline is the perfect place to go to, and that's because they have the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action.
And it's not just the hockey playoffs. We have the NBA playoffs, go Sixers. There's baseball, golf, tennis. The Olympics are around the corner. And BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
And BetOnline has you covered for all news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bet, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use the mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Rachel, you brought up, I think, one of my biggest concerns with Lappe being the coach is that, I mean, I've said it before, I liked Scott Gordon. I liked what he was doing, the development he was helping the kids through. And just switching the coach, whether that was because Fletcher wanted his one of his guys in there or not, just seemed like it was the worst possible time because they were finally getting their footing. And Lapierre, I don't know. He just the fact that he is a brand new coach, like he has not played, he has not coached in the AHL. He has not been a head coach before. There's just so much. He's just too new to continue and building on what the Phantoms have already built on themselves. And then this mentality of you know, bringing in positive energy, being a guy that's a developmental type person, yet. These quotes just seem like he honestly is just repeating what AV would say. And so my biggest thing is that like Fletcher putting him in this position, obviously he wants one of the guys who knows AV system well so that they can implement it at the AHL level, which I don't have a problem with. But if he brings that mentality of benching kids in a developmental league, that's where I have an issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to be worried about. I do, you know, we've been talking kind of in an apprehensive way about it this whole episode thus far. I do want to give him the benefit of the doubt and see what he can do. I'm not like trying to be all doomsday scenario here with it, that obviously somebody sees something in him if he has been getting this promotion and, you know, the organization has stuck with him for this many years in the coaching staff. I think it's worth giving him a shot and seeing what he can do. And, you know, like I said earlier, getting the right team around him to help him with the stuff that he doesn't know. And that, you know, if he is that positive guy where he can, you know, play good cop with other guys on the coaching staff being bad cop, that works for me too. So I'm just hoping that they're not so strict in whatever system they're putting together that it doesn't allow the prospects to thrive in their own style.
I am appreciative of you being positive in this situation because I feel like I am very doomsday. This was kind of not worst case scenario for me, but very concerning scenario with the Phantoms just because I was not a fan of the shakeup. But unfortunately, I just don't feel like I can give Lappe the benefit of the doubt and to see like, oh, well, what the organization has seen in him this far, like maybe he can add something positive to the Phantoms. I just don't know if I can do that just because of what I've seen from him as a assistant coach for the Flyers. Now, do I want to be proven wrong? I would be happy. I want the Phantoms to succeed, but I don't know. I think my expectations are very low. And so that way, if Lappe exceeds them, I'll be very, very happy and surprised. That's all I can do at this point is just like have my expectations very, very low so that I'm surprised.
Yeah, I just want to put a pin on it and see when they hire some assistant coaches and then kind of rethink how I'm feeling at that point.
That's absolutely fair. It's just so frustrating because the Flyers have a ton of questions this offseason. So it would have been nice to go into the offseason with very few questions for the Phantoms. At last, we have a ton. But we will always keep up to date on all Phantoms news and discuss as those assistant coaches are named. So wrapping up with our Flyers fun thing, not too much news, but there's still time to vote for Kevin Hayes and Gritty in the NHL Fan Choice Awards. So If you haven't already, vote for our Flyers people because, you know, they deserve to be shouted out. Kevin Hayes probably is one of the best mic'd up people in the league, so we have to give him recognition. And we all know that Gritty is the best mascot, so easy decision there. We'll have those linked in the show notes. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow with a mailbag. So if you haven't already, now is the best time to get in your questions so that we can answer them. You can reach us on Twitter at LockedOnFlyers or LockedOnFlyers@gmail.com. I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at RMiriam. That's RMiriam.
Thanks again for listening and have a great day. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help from our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.